Hi, we're James and Katie Crawford, and we wanted to talk to you about our financial journey that we've been on so far during our marriage and what God's been doing through us. We both grew up with parents that instilled good financial principles in our lives, how to save, how to not spend more than you have. And when we were getting married, we decided, even though we had those principles, we wanted to make sure we were on the same page because we knew that finance was something that a lot of couples would fight about. So we got involved in Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, and then after that fall, we joined the Crown Financial class here at the church to learn some more about finances. Before that time, my view of money was, I earned it, it's my money, I'm gonna spend it how I see fit. And it really took a lot to get through my head that it's God's money. That's one of the things that we learned in both of those classes was, it's God's money and we're the managers of that money. One instance where that came into play was one of the classes we had at the church was about generosity and giving. And we learned that we need to be generous with our money because God's been generous with us. Around that same time, we met a couple in the church who had a large financial need, and God put it on our hearts to help them out with that. My first opinion of that was, that's way too much money. I worked hard for this money. I don't want to just give it away. And God really worked on my heart through us talking and praying, and we decided that we did need to give this money to that family. And it was hard, but we got through it. It was easier for him than it was for me. And later that week, we got our tax refund check back. He got a promotion at work, which included a raise. And our dentist called and said we had paid too much on a bill and they were going to give us the money back. So I don't say this to say it's prosperity gospel where you give and God will give back. It's more of, it took a lot to trust in him that he was going to provide, that we were giving away the money that we could have used. And he followed through with that and provided for us later that week.
I wanted to share how God has worked in my heart and the things that he's taught me. Through the experience that Katie shared, I also learned through that experience. But as she mentioned, our parents have gave us a very good platform and foundation in finances, managing of it. And one thing my parents really taught me was about saving for retirement. And so after we got our first jobs, I was really gung-ho to get started saving. And so we were maxing out everything we could through our work and even had separate retirement accounts to save money. And I started questioning, is this really what God would want? And found a video that John Piper had recorded in an interview back in 2008 where he answered that question about should Christians save for retirement. And what he had to say in there was, yes, it's good to save, but maybe to lean away from a massive retirement account to meet immediate needs around you. And that gave me some inspiration to be able to think about that. And so we've dialed back our savings for retirement from maxing it out at work down to about 8 to 10%. And it's freed up a lot of money that we can give away and meet needs, whether it be here at the church or in the community. Second inspiration that I had was through Crown Financial, the class here at the church. And Chip Ingram said for he and his wife, they draw a line in the sand where anything above a certain threshold of income, they say above that is for God and his kingdom. And then a third inspiration for me was Francis Chan. At least for a couple years when he was over the church in California, he asked an elder, wonder what loving others as yourself would look like. Maybe it is giving up to 50% of what you have away to someone else to love them as you love yourself. And so that really took the bar a little higher in my mind as a goal. Then we have just God's love for us and the price that he was willing to pay for us. And then a final inspiration that I'll throw out there is Acts chapter 4, verses 35 and 36. The early church, that they shared their needs and held everything in common. and there weren't any needs among them because they were so generous and loving toward one another. And I would like to challenge you guys, that's a vision that I would have for our church family, is to share each other's needs to the point where there aren't needs among New Hope's body. I believe that would honor God, and I just think it's just a pleasure for both of us too, to be able to give and to love. So I would encourage all of you to take the steps you can to love like Jesus.
Hey, welcome. We are continuing our series called Bucks, where we're learning about what it looks like to hunt for money, right? Are you hunting for money? We're talking about money and stuff and possessions, and I'm so encouraged by testimonies like that, like James and Katie, a young couple who's made decisions in their life to live generously, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, and what that really looks like in our life. Now, if you haven't joined us in this series, don't log off because this is really good practical stuff. We ended a series a number of weeks ago talking about relation slips, which is a very practical series about relationships. So we're just trying to help you be very practical on how to do the right things and avoid slip-ups in relationships. And then we moved into this, talking about our money and our stuff, which is very practical because so often it becomes one of the most stressful things in people's lives that hinder relationships, that hinders their spiritual walk in life, that we want you to have the tools to succeed. See, we're learning in this series how to have we're learning the heartbeat and the how-to of what God says about our money and stuff. Actually, we learned that Jesus spoke more about this topic than heaven and hell combined. Like, he knew this was what was going to distract us in this world and was going to cause so many problems and stressors. And we learned earlier, he says, do not worry. I don't know how many people worry about their money and their stuff, right? And God says, don't worry. He's got it covered. He's got it covered. Let me do a quick review for you if you haven't been with us in this series. And you can always go back and watch sermons on our website and get caught up on this stuff. But this is what we're learning. God is the owner and we are the stewards. We came into this world with nothing. When we die, we're taking nothing with us. We're just managing what God has given us while we are here, right? We are stewarding God's resources. We learn that we all have equal value, but we have different capacity, right? Like in the eye of God, right? This is what it says in Proverbs, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. that God made us all. No matter what our capacity, we are equal. At the foot of the cross, we are all sinners, right? It's a level ground at the foot of the cross. And so in God's eyes, it doesn't matter how much you make, whether you're rich or whether you're poor. He sees you as a person. He values each and every single one of us equally. And as Christians and Christ followers, we are to do the same thing. See each other equally in light of the kingdom of God, right? But even though we are equal, we do have different capacity, meaning he has blessed different people with different gifts and abilities and capacities. And that is okay. We're not to judge each other based upon that. If somebody, you know, just makes a living and kind of scrapes by, or somebody has a lot of wealth or anywhere in between, like, we all have different capacity. And we need to learn how to steward what God has given us in that capacity, right? We've also learned this, that we want to push past comparison and fear so that we can live in contentment. We read that passage that says that contentment with godliness is great gain. When we live contented with what we have in God's provision and contented with the capacity that he's given us in life, we will experience peace, right? It's comparison and fear that so often steal that contentment. We compare ourselves with other people, or we're continually bombarded with advertisements that say, compare yourself with them. You need what they have so you can look like what they have. We know that life does not equal the amount of stuff that we have. That's not actually what real life is, right? So we're pushing against comparison and fear. And last week we talked about living debt-free and having savings, how it frees you to be generous. That we talked about living debt-free, that when we have debt, it strangles our ability to be generous, right? Because we're stressed out about debt. When we learn to be debt-free and have a plan for that, we start to learn how to live in peace and contentment, right? And we start saving and setting aside a portion of our income so that when things break, we can pay to fix them, right? We all have stuff, and the more stuff you have, the more stuff you have that will break. That's just truth. And when we save money, when things break, we don't have to go into debt. We actually get to stay in the positive, and we learn then how to be generous. You're positioning yourself to be a generous person when you live that way. So you can go back and watch those messages and get caught up more if you want to dig into those. But we are learning about this today, how to be generous, what it looks like to be a generous person. I heard a story about this old country church, and there's this pastor in this old country church, and they were trying to raise money to replace the church bell. It had broken years ago, and they're like, we want that church bell put back. So as they were trying to raise funds, the pastor was thinking about, how can I help our church, you know, do this? And so he came up on a Sunday and said, hey, church, I have an idea. We're going to take a special offering, and this special offering is going to go towards us, you know, fixing and replacing this church bell. Whoever gives the most this morning towards this, they can pick their three favorite hymns. And so they're like, oh, okay, well, that's neat. You know, they get to pick the songs for the day. And so the offering plate goes around for the special offering, and it comes back, and one of the trustees counts it and comes back to the pastor and says, hey, Margaret gave a really large check. And they're like, Margaret? Margaret's one of the oldest ladies in the congregation. And he looks at it and says, wow, this is like a really generous gift. And so he calls Margaret at the end of the service to the front of the church. Hey, we just wanted to celebrate Margaret. Margaret gave more than anybody, and we're just so honored, you know, that you gave such a generous gift to the church. Now you get to pick your favorite three hymns. And she starts looking around the congregation, and she starts pointing. I want him, I want him, and I want him. Okay, you're joking. All right, you're laughing with me, aren't you? Right? Like she was looking for the best looking guys in the room. Okay. Anyways, that's not what it means to be generous, right? We're not talking about generosity in the idea of we give to get something. Unfortunately, there are churches and pastors out there that have skewed this whole idea of generosity and giving, and they've taken it to this whole idea of prosperity gospel, which means I give, and this is like a spiritual lottery. I give so that I can get something better in return. Some pastors preach and say, plant a seed into my ministry, and I promise God's blessing upon your life that you will experience this and this and this. I'm telling you, I don't see that in Scripture. That's not how this works, and that's not what I'm preaching this morning. So I just wanted to debunk that right at the top. Anytime we look at biblical principles, we need to look at the Bible, which is what we're going to do in just a couple minutes. We want God's truth and his word to speak to us so that we as Christ followers learn to live into and walk into obedience to that. And so we're going to learn about real generosity. It's not giving to get. It's not spiritual lottery. But we do see there are spiritual implications to how we steward what we have and how open-handed we are in generosity with it. There is a cause and effect to generosity, and that you will experience results in your life that are spiritual blessings. Now, in Proverbs, we see this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. It says this about generosity. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, right? That hoarder we talked about, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. It says, whomever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to the one who searches for it. Those who trust in their riches, they're going to fall. But the righteous, they will thrive like a green leaf. They're gonna grow. They're gonna experience God's growth in their life. See, we want to learn, what does it look like in wisdom to be like the one who lives open-handed? Because when you live open-handed, you will experience spiritual blessing in your life. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, if you have your Bibles, we're gonna jump into a passage in the New Testament, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So you can chat with us online. If you're with us, you can say, yep, I'm with you, okay? You can go, yep, at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's where we're spending the majority of our morning. So let me give you a little backstory of where we're at in this book. So 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. And the church was doing some good things right. The church was doing some things just really wrong. But what he's talking about in chapter 8 and chapter 9 is talking about generosity, what we're talking about. And in chapter 8, he brings up this testimony of a church in Macedonia, that the church in Macedonia said they gave to the ministry, to Paul, to bless other churches. And they gave so much that they were giving out of their own poverty, meaning they weren't a wealthy church. But they gave out of their poverty, and they were glad to do it. They did it with joy. And that overflow of that blessing and generosity blessed in the other churches that had needs. We see also in chapter 8 that he shares with this church and the church in Corinth how to give and how to be generous towards ministry. He says to them, he wants them to give according to their means. Meaning he's saying, you don't have to give necessarily like the Macedonians out of their poverty. Said, give and be generous according to what you have. It's kind of this idea of percentage giving, making a decision and doing it. And then he talks about the whole idea of the churches giving two ministries to each other, not that one would have a bunch and be really wealthy and one would be really poor, that they can be in equality. He said, in God's kingdom, the whole idea is equality. It's that we want those who have need to be blessed and have their needs met, and those who have much to give to those who have need, and that God can be glorified in that process. And so now we get into this part in chapter 9 where he gets very specific about this whole idea of spiritual response to generous living, okay? The spiritual result that you can experience in generous living, all right? So if you're with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you can say, yep. Or chat, yep, and let me know you guys are ready to go to read this together. So this is what it says. This is the word of God here. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. See, right here at the very beginning, there's this spiritual interchange, right? This whole idea of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow into your life, whether it's good or bad, you're going to reap the back from it, right? If you're sowing bad in your life, you're going to reap some bad things. If you sow good things in your life, you're going to reap good things. That's not karma, by the way. That's just truth. That's just how life works, right? And he's saying those who are generous, they're going to experience generosity in their life. But it all comes down to this. For God loves a cheerful giver. See, God cares more about our heart than he does about our stuff. God doesn't need your stuff, right? God made everything. He can use anything anytime he wants. That's God. He cares about our hearts and what owns our hearts. And he knows so often money or all kinds of greed or what we were talking about early, discontentment, fear, all those things can get into our heart and turn us into people that don't look like the kingdom of God. He is looking for people who are cheerful givers, ones that live open-handed with joy, like the Macedonian church. So keep reading. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Why? Because God has everything, right? He can bless you abundantly. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. Let's keep reading. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Do you hear the heartbeat there? He says he's not going to give you more so that you can have more, so you can do less. That's not what he's saying. When God provides and increases your harvest, he increases your harvest and your righteousness, you'll be enriched in every way so that why? You can be generous on every occasion. That you can then bless all the more. You receive not to receive, you receive to bless, to live open-handed. Let's keep reading. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, we see some things in this passage. And I'm going to teach you three things through this passage, okay, of what we experience in this whole idea of generosity, okay? So hopefully you have a piece of paper, a journal, a pen for you to write these things down, because so often we forget, and it's always good to go back to your notes, okay? Write these things down. When you live generously, number one, when you live generously, that cheerful giver, you get to bless others. You get to bless others, okay? Let's look at a few of these passages that we see in this whole passage that we're looking at, a few of these verses. See, you get to bless others. If we go back to chapter 8, we see the Macedonian church out of poverty gave generously, and they got to bless others. They blessed other churches. They blessed Paul and his ministry, and which in turn blessed whole communities. Their generosity blessed others because of this work in giving and generosity to meet the needs, right? A whole church blessing others. Then we see in verse 9, it says they scattered their gifts to the poor. See, Jesus made this comment. He said, you will always have the poor. The poor will always be among you, right? No matter what time or point of history, there will always be those who have needs. And when you get to be somebody who can bless the poor, I mean, give to somebody who has need, you get to bless others. You get to bless others. Now, a lot of people wrestle with this whole idea. Especially in America, we have a tendency to judge those who are poor. If we have enough for us, or we're hard workers, or whatever, we think, well, every poor person is poor because they don't want to work, or they're lazy, or they're fill in the blank. And that's not always the case. I mean, sometimes that might be the case, but honestly, that's not on you, right? Our call as Christ followers isn't to judge people, it's to love people. It's our desire when we see somebody who has a need, no matter the circumstances, and God says, meet that need, that we do it. We give to bless others. I know for a lot of people who are poor, who have needs, it might be for a couple of reasons. It might be a generational lifestyle that they don't know anything different, right? And they just kind of are raised that way, and then that's the way they live, and just generationally, it just keeps going and going and going. I know some people who have huge loss in their life, and it takes away from them in a way that they have huge needs in their life. Our job isn't to judge the why. When we live open-handed and generously, what we get to do is bless no matter what, right? We get to choose to give and bless individuals, to be generous to them. Because when we do that, we are giving them the physical expression of God's love to them. I don't know how many times in my own family's life that we have had need, financial need, and we had no idea how we were going to make it. You know, we had no idea how we were going to buy groceries, or how, in one season, how we were going to pay our mortgage because I lost a job. And in those moments, we saw God show up randomly, like ways we didn't even know could have happened. Whether that was a check showing up in the mail that was anonymous, and somebody chose to give to our family to provide for us, or times when a church we were a part of when we lived in Atlanta, down in Georgia, we went to the church and said, we need help. And that church graciously gave to our family so that we could buy groceries, so that we could pay bills. See, when we get to be the ones that are generous, we show God's love to those who have need. We get to bless others. I use this term of conduit, right? That we get to be a conduit of God's blessing. I don't know if you know what conduit is, and maybe I should explain it. So in construction, doing electrical work, conduit is this metal pipe that they take the wires and they run the wires down through this conduit. So there's a source of power. They connect the wires to that source of power. They run it through the conduit to an outlet. And then whoever in that room can plug their thing into that outlet and receive the power they need, right? And so the conduit doesn't create power. The conduit just holds the power with inside of it and then, you know, gives it to whoever needs it in that room. When we think about us being conduit of God's blessing, that's what it is. God's the power. God's the provider. We get to be just that tool or that conduit that his power flows through, or his giving, his generosity flows through and goes to whoever needs it. That's what we get to be when we bless others, a conduit of God's blessing. That is living a generous life. So when you live generously, you get the joy of blessing others, blessing churches, blessing missionaries, blessing those who are poor. You just get to be a part of supplying the needs of the Lord's people, the church that you belong to, right? All right, number two, when you live generously, you bring blessing into your life. Now, again, this is not health, wealth, prosperity stuff, okay? This is in Scripture. This is the biblical principle of spiritual blessings from generosity, okay? It says in verse 8, right? Verse 8, "And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." All things, all times, God will give you abundantly. Why? For every good work, not for you to receive and then keep and hoard, right? To use it, to work. You will receive blessings in that. Verse 10 and 11, he says he will increase your store, right? He'll enlarge your harvest, enrich you. Why? So that you can be generous. You need to hear that. You receive blessings. God will enlarge your harvest. He will increase your store. He will bring more into your life because he's looking for people who live generously. When he sees people open-handed, ready to be that conduit, he says, that's somebody I can use. That's somebody that I can flow my love through so that they can give a practical gift to somebody else, right? And in that blessing, he would give us more. Not for us to keep and hoard, but for us to then continue to use it where he wants to use it, right? That we get to be that conduit, not just to receive, but to give. I love that passage in verse 11, and this is what debunks the whole wealth prosperity gospel. It's you will be enriched in every way. Why? So that you can be generous on every occasion. Living debt-free, having savings, and now generous on every occasion. This is a godly, contented life. This is God's dream for you to live into. You get to bring blessings into your life so that he can use you all the more. All right. And then number three, when you live generously, you bring glory to God. You bring glory to God when you live generously. Here's the thing with God. He will get his glory in the end. Like, he doesn't need us to give him glory, but he wants us to. In the end, he will get all the glory, meaning for all of eternity, we will be actually in the presence of the glory of God. But when we live generously here, he gets glorified. Conduit of blessing, giving to us, open-handed blessing the church, blessing others. Watch the response, right? Here's a few of these verses in verse 11. Through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So us receiving, generosity giving, God getting praised. Do you see the cycle? It doesn't end here. It goes there and it goes back to God. He gets praised in this process. Verse 12, it says it's the overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. It's giving God praise. Verse 13 says, because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Do you hear that? The obedience of the gospel of Christ. Christ saved me. God gave me an enormous gift of salvation, and now he's given me provision. I bless others, and that's going to turn in others then praising God. God gets the glory in the end when we live generously. And then verse 15 is the big one. It says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Meaning God's gift to us isn't even stuff. When we talk about that, this obedience to the gospel and the confession of Christ Jesus, that is the indescribable gift. We have received salvation in Jesus Christ. See, the spiritual response for our life in the generosity that God has given his one and only son to us, that returns to him in praise and thanksgiving. Amen? We should be a grateful people, Christ followers, for what he's done in our life. When you learn to live generously, you get to bless others. You get to bring blessing in your own life. And number three, right? God gets the glory. You bring him glory, and he gets worshiped in that process. Now, I hope you hear God's heartbeat in this message. God has something for you. He doesn't want you to live in fear. He doesn't want you to live in discontentment. He doesn't want you to live in worry about money and possessions. He says, don't do that. He wants you to live in joy and godliness and righteousness and with contentment, right? Being a generous person. Now, I want you to hear a story from a couple who are wrestling with this, with this whole idea of stewardship and the idea of giving. And for them, it was giving to the church and living open-handed. And so I want you to hear their testimony of how God worked in their life and what we're talking about this morning.
Hi, my name's Gabe Raffa. This is my wife, Randy, and we wanted to share a brief testimony with you today. God's been doing a great work in our lives ever since we've been coming to New Hope, and we've been excited about how God is teaching us so many things. And one of the things he has taught us recently was just the aspect of the way that worship, how we can worship God through giving. And my wife and I were really struggling with our money. We look at money like sort of, hey, we earn it. We want to spend it the way that we want to spend it. And there was a time just a little while ago, Pastor was teaching about stewardship. And we were at a communion service, and my wife was being led by the Spirit of God, or convicted, I guess I should say, pertaining to how we weren't giving the way we should be. Why don't you tell them about it?
Well, as he had said, we had been struggling, or I had actually been struggling with the concept of stewardship, and I had been raised in church all my life and knew that it was a part of worshiping God and a part of being an obedient Christian. And so in the fall, I remember clear as day, I was talking with a coworker, and she's a Christian as well. And we were discussing, I was telling her some things that I was, you know, kind of discontent about and struggling with in my walk. And I had mentioned to her that, you know, stewardship is something that I just can't seem to let go of. I want that money for myself, and I just couldn't let go of giving that money to God. And so that week, you know, we had talked about, she said she would pray for me. And so that Sunday we went to church, and it was during the time that Pastor Tim was preaching on 9 things that matter. And it was also a communion Sunday. And so as the people were going forward with communion, I just knew that I couldn't go forward because I just would not give in to God. I knew that what I was doing was wrong, but I was just so heartened by it. And my husband looked over at me with a look of concern, and I said, you know, I can't justly partake in communion, because I just know right now my heart is not right with stewardship. And, you know, so as the Sunday went on, Pastor Tim got up to speak, and it just so happened that it was the sermon, Stewardship, Stewarding Your Money Matters. I looked at my husband, and we just kind of chuckled, and I said, okay, God, my heart's open to you, and I know that you are working in our life to get this settled. So after the message, Pastor Tim encouraged us, or encouraged the congregation, to sign up for a 90-day challenge in which to test God over those 90 days. And so I did. I signed up, and I also got the book that they were offering God by Randy Alcorn. And since making that commitment, every time we get a paycheck, the first thing I do is make sure that God has his portion. And no matter what happens that month, I know that God's going to provide for us.
So ever since that Sunday, we've just been learning that God is a generous God. You know, God is a loving God. And when we walk with God and we come to know a more intimate relationship with the Spirit, we end up finding ourselves becoming generous like he is. It's almost having a characteristic like Christ, to where his love is so abundant and he is the provider, God our Father. So we felt in our lives that, you know, we want to be obedient in this way, and it's an act of worship. So we're excited about what God's doing in our hearts, and we want to encourage you to join us and worship God through giving. And it's fun, it's exciting, and it's great to see God the provider provide for your needs as well as provide for your wants. And it's awesome serving the God we love and serve.
I'm so grateful for Gabe and Randy, you know, sharing that story with us. And their encouragement. See, I've heard that story over and over and over again. The people who have chosen to release, chosen to walk into obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ in this idea of generosity, and then seeing God open up new things in people's lives. And it's spiritual, meaning it draws them closer to this God who loves them. And also then financially and with possessions that God does want to give so that we can be that conduit of generosity to other people and to the church that we belong to. Now, I know I talked about this last week. I just wanted to do this again. See, in America, normal Americans, this is how they live. They get a paycheck, they live first, meaning they pay their bills, they buy their groceries, they get what they want. Then if they have a little, they might save a little and set aside a little bit. And then if they have some leftover, they might give. The average American gives 2% of their income to anything good, in anything. See, this isn't God's dream. See, God flips the equation and helps us to trust him more, and it's all about our heart and relationship with him, right? He says, give first, is what God says. He says, first give to him, actually. Because when we give to him first, and we release that, it's us saying to him, I'm worshiping you with what you've blessed me with, God. And for me, just so you know where I stand, I believe in a tithe. I believe in giving 10% of my income to the church that I belong to. Now, there are churches that have different views on that. Some people say that's Old Testament, that's very legalistic, and I need to know, I'm not legalistic with that. That's not like you do it or you don't get God's blessing. That's not how it works. We also see in this passage in 2 Corinthians, it says, give according to your means. Decide in your heart what you're going to give, and then give it. Whatever you decide to do, do it, is what I'm saying, okay? For me, I've chosen, our family's always given 10%, and when I didn't make much, that was just a little bit, and I make a lot more now than I did when I was 20, and I still, no matter what, that's what I do, and I've never seen God not provide for our family, even in times that were hard and hardship. Whatever I had, I chose to give to God first. And then you get to see, as you live in that generosity, God's provision in your life, his blessing, and then you get to see him use it in other people's lives, right? So give to God first, and then save. Be wise. Be like the ant who stores in season so that when drought comes, you have stuff stored up, right? Save, and then live off the rest. Live off the rest. These are just some numbers I think people, these are good numbers, I think. If it's 10%, I just give away. 10%, I save, whether that's retirement or emergency funds or whatever. And then I live off of 80%. Now, this is what I've learned in my life. When I give that percent and I save that percent, somehow God actually grows what I can live off of. He does more when I give and save with what's left over than if I were choose to flip that script and try to live first. And it has more of a tendency to just disappear. God's protection, provision comes into our life when we walk into it this way. We learn to give, save, and then live. Okay? So let's get really practical as we're trying to give you some very practical steps, some how-tos, okay? We heard the heartbeat of God. Now here's the how-to. We talked about this already. Number one, you got to be knowing where your money's a-going, right? Number one is create a budget, right? We talked about that early on in this series. And we have resources on our website, mynewhope.tv/bucks. You can download a PDF or an Excel sheet and create a budget. Know where your money is going, okay? Then get out of debt. If you have debt, come up with a plan to get out of debt. Run away from debt, right? Flee debt. And so we have those resources on the website, a PDF and an Excel sheet to create what we call a debt snowball. It's listing out your debts, smallest to largest, and then start paying them off. And when you pay this one off, you take the amount that you've been paying on that and add it to the next debt. So you're paying more and more and more and more as you get rid of it. It's a great tool. I would encourage you to do that. Get out of debt so then you can start saving for when that thing breaks. You can have money instead of going into debt. You can have money ready to pay for that thing, right? Whatever it is. And then this is the challenge for today. Choose to give a percentage away. Just make a decision. Pray. Ask God. God, what would you have me do? How do you want me to walk in obedience to become a generous person? What percentage? I would encourage you, those passages, set aside according to your means, decide in your heart what to give, and then do it. And then do it. And see, the more that you do that, the more God's showing up. Right? That's what happens over and over and over again. And that is his promise in Scripture, when you do that. Maybe some of you this morning, maybe some of you want to take what Gabe and Randy talked about. Maybe you want to take a 90-day tithe challenge and just test them. There's a passage in the book of Malachi. It's the only passage in Scripture that God says, test me in this, that if you bring your tithe to the church or to the worship gathering that you belong to, if he won't then protect and bless. Like, that's that passage in Malachi. Okay, and maybe you want to do that. You can do that. I'm not saying you have to, but maybe you say, I'm gonna see what God will do if I step into this in obedience. And then act on it. Don't like bow out. Say, here's what I'm committing in my heart to God, and then see what he does as you step into that, okay? As you walk into that. See, our heartbeat is that God has something for you. More than anything, he wants a relationship with you. Now, we're going to take just a few moments of response, okay? Time to respond to the message and to the word and whatever God might be speaking to you this morning. So, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, God, for leading us. I know, Holy Spirit, that you're with us. God, just help us in this time of response to walk in obedience, whatever you want to say to us. I just want to ask a few questions, and I would encourage you, wherever you're at, you're in your living room, you're on your phone, wherever you're at, this isn't time to talk. This is just time between you and God, because I want to give you some challenge questions. And maybe this first one, maybe rate yourself from 1 to 10, all right? Let's just get real practical. How well are you stewarding your resources? 1 is like you have no idea what you're doing. 10, you're like very diligent in stewardship, right? Where are you in stewarding your resources of what God's given you? Where do you think you are? Do you have a plan, right? Are you getting out of debt? Or are you living debt-free? You know, where are you in all those things? Maybe answer this question. How has God blessed you? Some of us live with fear. Some of you, you know, you live with a scarcity mindset. You always think there will never be enough. Like the people who are buying way too much toilet paper, right? They think they're going to run out. There's not going to be enough. This is scarcity mentality, right? It's hard to be generous when you live with scarcity. So maybe for you, start writing how God has blessed you. Instead of thinking of God as a God of scarcity, God is a God of abundance. He has everything. And he wants to provide all of our needs. He's already made those promises in Scripture. Start thanking him for how he's blessed you and what he's blessed you with. And maybe this one right here. maybe do another 1 to 10 scale for yourself. When you think about this, how generous are you toward your church or to others? How generous of a person are you? 1 is you don't really give anything away. 10 is you always live open-handed. You're given every day, or you're given all the time, right, to people and to the church you belong to. Where are you as a generous person on that scale of 1 to 10? And what can you do to grow? What can you do this week to be a more generous person? I would encourage you to take those steps. The reality is, though, all of our money and stuff doesn't matter. It is all temporary. God wants our hearts. And the reality, in all of our lives, we have a bigger debt than any financial debt. See, our biggest debt is our debt to sin. All of us have sinned. All of us are sinners. And our sin separates us from God. And when we sin against other people, it separates us from other people, doesn't it? And God says he wants a relationship with us, but he can't, because he's holy and he is perfect. And him being holy and perfect can't be with those who are unholy and imperfect. They can't exist together. And so God made a decision as a generous God to give. We know this passage in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave that which was the most valuable to him. You were worth Jesus to God. Do you get that? He sent his son Jesus to pay for our debt of sin that we could not pay by being good enough. We can't do enough good to outdo the sin in our life. Sin is always sin. And so he said, I am going to make the way. I'm going to send my son Jesus down. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for your sin. It should have been you dying for your sin. Jesus died for your sin on the cross. 3 days later, he conquered death itself and rose again. We're going to celebrate that at Easter. And he is alive today. If you want a relationship with God, that's the most important decision you will ever make. Over your stuff and money, over this life. That is the most important decision you will ever make. And so if you want to take that step today, if you want a relationship with this God who gave everything so that he could have a relationship with you, we read in Scripture that you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that you will be saved. So I want to pray with you if you want to take that step, if you want to start a relationship with God today and invite Jesus into your life. So I'm going to pray. You can pray wherever you are and ask God. Make it your own words and ask God to enter in. So you can pray. Say, God, I believe Jesus is your son, that you gave him to this world to die on the cross for my sin. God, I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sin, to make me new, to heal me. I want to be yours now, and I want to be yours forever. So enter into my life, Jesus. And I just ask this and confess it in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Amen. And God, for all of us this morning, those of us that hold too tightly to things, those that worry about things or have fear or discontentment, I pray you'd break all kinds of greed out of our lives. That you'd help us to learn how to use our bucks well, right? To steward them well, and that we would be such a generous church and a generous people. That people would see us and want blessings on our lives because of our generosity to them. Help us be those type of Christ followers, living open-handed. We thank you for your word, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Hey, thank you for joining in this gathering, and I would encourage you to take your next step, whatever it is. Today, if you made a decision, maybe during the season, God's pulling you closer to him, or maybe you've wandered from God and now you're coming back to him, we would love to know about that. I just ask you to fill out the Connect card online, mynewhope.tv/connect, and let us know you made a decision today. I would love to send some information to help you start your journey with God. If you just prayed that prayer and you're walking with Jesus now, to encourage you as you start that. So let's keep working and learning. Next week, we're starting a new series called The Unexpected as we're moving into the Easter season as a church family. It's going to be really powerful. We'd love to see you next week as well. God bless.